Well, you know, being on the mission field stretches you. It grows you. It grows your faith. And it shifts your perspective. It shifts your viewpoint, for sure. How you see things. You know, in my own experience on the mission field, I came home with a deeper compassion. And really, you know, and a gratitude for the simple things in life. Like hot water in the shower. How about running water? I'm telling you, it does do something to you. And perspective is something that I pray a lot about. I ask the Holy Spirit to give me His perspective. And I ask Him for His insight on matters. And because of that, you know, it's a powerful thing because His thoughts, guess what? Are higher than my thoughts. And His ways are higher than my ways. And so I can tap in to another realm of receiving from the Lord just what I need when I turn to Him and ask Him for His perspective. Oftentimes I ask the Lord to show me other people's perspective. And that's really important. Because, you know, I want to see from where they're seated. And it's sort of like if you're seated at a table or if you're seated here and you're looking this way, you see what's out there, but you turn around and guess what? You have a whole nother perspective. Amen? And sometimes you have to get out of your seat and go to the other side of the table to get somebody else's vantage point and their perspective. So, another thing you can do, as you go up to higher ground, you know that you get a different perspective from being on the mountaintop looking down versus being down in the valley? And that's true spiritually speaking. We can have a different perspective again when we come up to where He's seated and get His perspective on the matter, on things. And so go up to higher ground. And I want to share with you tonight just a little bit about how I had to shift my perspective by taking hold of His thoughts and His perspective about a situation that I just kind of went through in my life. And so, you know, we've all heard the Christmas song, "'Tis the Season to Be Jolly." Only this year I wasn't quite feeling the jolly or the merry or the bright. To be honest, I was really kind of feeling like I was dreading the season. And I'm telling you, I love Christmas. I go all out for Christmas. I love God. I love Him with all my heart, my soul, my strength, my might. And I deeply honor my relationship with Him. I love abiding with Him. But sometimes life gets in the way. And sometimes we can drift or depart from the secret place. That place that God has called us to walk and talk and fellowship with Him. Now that doesn't mean that you depart from your relationship with God. It just maybe means that you depart from your fellowship with Him. And one of the ways that I recognize that I depart or drift from that place in Him is I begin to feel the weight and the pressures of life, the cares of this world, distractions, disappointments, they start weighing me down. And when you feel the weight of the world, church, let it cue you. Amen. Let it be a cue to you that you've drifted and you've departed from that place in Him where you're abiding and seeing from His perspective. And so what you do in that situation is you don't run from Him. You do what? You run to Him. You run to Him and you sit at His feet. And you simply behold Him. And He's glorious. And he's amazing and he's wonderful. And from that place, you can get a fresh perspective. You know, you let the word reflect to you truth. Because the enemy is out there and he wants to tell you lies. Amen? And then you can let your own imagination take hold of those lies, those thoughts, and then run wild in your thinking and create rabbit trails everywhere of how you're going to solve the problems of the world and in your life. Amen? So you've got to stop that. And you've got to replace that again with the truth of God's word. And one thing I know that as I behold him, as I sit in his presence and fellowship with him, he begins to paint the picture that he wants on the tablet of my heart. And it's always so much more beautiful. It always brings hope. It always brings fresh vision and passion that's attached to it. Isaiah 40 says this, he will give power to the faint. He'll give power to the weak. And to those who have no might, what will he do for you? He will increase strength so that you can mount up with wings as eagles, and you can, church, run and not be weary, and you can walk and not faint. And so, as I said, I wasn't feeling the Christmas spirit. You know, our family has traditions, most of you. And in my household, for many, many years, we all decorate the day after Thanksgiving. And my family would come and we'd make a big breakfast and, you know, then we'd begin to decorate. But this year was different. This year, there had been a change. Many of my family members, my grandchildren, had moved away. Some into the military. My oldest granddaughter and my two great-grandkids, they moved to Utah. Others had to work and weren't available and couldn't come. And so I was really grieving what had been. And I just didn't want to be reminded of their absence. And so, while I was having a conversation with Pastor Brenda one day, and we were talking about Christmas decorating, and you know, she knows how to bring the jolly. And I said to her, you know, I don't feel like decorating this year. And when I said that, I heard my own words. Because the Holy Spirit put a highlight on them. And when I heard those words, he started to deal with me about them. And so I began to pray about it. Because I don't want what I was feeling, nor do I want the spirit of sorrow to take root in my heart. And it was knocking at the door of my heart. Amen. But do you know, church, we can't open that door. We can't afford to do that. You got to keep the door shut. But there was just, you know, really a bigger issue than just my feelings. And I needed to stop what it was the enemy was trying to rot before it became a stronghold in my thinking and then in my life. Because, you know, he seeks to steal, kill, and destroy for you in whatever way that he can. And so, in my time of prayer, I was prompted to turn to the Our Father prayer. Now, that's not something that I typically pray, although I love that passage of Scripture and how Jesus taught us to pray that way. And so I did. I turned to Matthew chapter 6 and started reading in verse 9. And you know, this is Jesus speaking. As I sat down, I said, you know what, Lord, I open my heart. I love that we sang that song, Open the Eyes of My Heart. I opened my heart and I prayed, Lord, I ask you to speak to me. This, I don't want this in me. That's not, you know, your spirit working in me. That's my soul working against me. And so I looked down at the words of Jesus and I began to read it. And it says, our Father God, our Heavenly Father, He is your Father and He is a good, good God. And then it says, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. To be honored is your name. To reverence the name. To come before Him in worship, acknowledging Him as God and God in your life, and that He can do what you cannot do. And so I began to worship Him, and I began to enter back into that secret place, that place that is hidden from the world, but is available to you. And then I went down to the next verse, in verse 10, and it says, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I began to petition heaven like, Lord, I want your kingdom reigning in my life. Amen. I want to rule in your kingdom. I don't want the world and the spirit of this world to rule over me. Lord, your will be done in my life. And I know His will is good. Amen. But we've got to take hold of it. And so as I began to read that, and I began to, really what I was doing is surrendering my soul to Him. And as I did that, I felt a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit breathe upon me. And I continued, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. And the Holy Spirit had me pause on those words. And again, I petitioned heaven, Lord, I need my daily bread. You know, that's natural provision, but it's also spiritual provision. Jesus is the bread of life. And I needed fresh manna. Amen. I needed a fresh perspective. Now, as a side note, I just want to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you as you pray. He'll give you utterance and words to pray. People often think that they just need to pray harder or pray longer, but sometimes you just need to pray differently. Amen? You need to pray differently. And as you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit in prayer, He will give you words to pray. Just like He did here. Lord, give me this day my daily bread. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. He led me to pray and ask for what I didn't even know that I needed. I needed fresh manna. I needed a fresh revelation. I needed new perspective. So as I continued reading and seeking Him on this, the Holy Spirit reminded me about a project that I had just completed. We had just completed in my home. And so, you know, it was one of those things, like it was a closet, you know, the closet that's next to the kitchen, the closet, sort of like the drawer. And this closet had not been cleaned out, and it was full of stuff. And I like things neat and tidy, but I'm telling you, this closet was full, and I continued to put it off, because you know what? It takes time. It takes energy. It takes, you know, purging. It takes effort to clean out the closet. You have to make piles, keep, toss, give. What's junk? What has value? Sometimes you find pictures, and then an hour later, after you've gone through the pictures, you go back and, oh, let's get back to cleaning the closet out. And so, about 2 weeks ago or so, my sister came by, and she just said, you know, let's clean out that closet. Let's just get to it. And she's an organizer. And so we just cleared out that space. And guess what? We made room. We cleared the space. We made room. Now, new shelving was installed. And it was completely repurposed and made into a large pantry. And it is awesome, isn't it, Dolly? It is so awesome. I said, like, wow, what was I waiting for? Now, that's a good point, church. Sometimes things need to be cleaned out. And we hesitate because it takes effort and energy and time and purging. But what are you waiting for? Amen. And so I cleared out that space and I made room for something new. And as I sat in the secret place, the Lord said to me, you need to clear out the space in your soul and make room for something new. I was holding on to the past, but I needed to clear out, you know, disappointment that I was feeling, sorrow, grief, expectations, old traditions. I needed to release it and let it go because it's a new season. And you can't embrace the new season while holding on to the old. Amen? So I began to express gratitude and thanksgiving. I made room for Jesus, for the King of Glory to come into my heart. And my heart said, yes, I'm going to celebrate. This is a birth of Jesus that we're celebrating. This is the Son of God who has come to save me, amen, and to save you. And suddenly, guess what happened? My perspective shifted. My perspective shifted. The revelation that this is the time of year that we celebrate Jesus. I became so grateful. I mean, God started moving in my heart because I opened my heart and I said, Lord, come in. Help me with this. Give me a fresh perspective. And he did just that. He came in. He gave me a fresh perspective and a fresh desire to adorn my home to celebrate him. And I suddenly got excited. And I am really rejoicing and I'm really enjoying all that I was dreading. Fresh perspective, church. So with the help of the Holy Spirit, I cleared out the perspective of the enemy's desire that he wanted to sow in me. And I made room in the end, in my heart. Amen. And isn't that the story of Christmas? That there was no room for Jesus. And sometimes the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things that are distracting you, you will be so full of that. There's no room for Jesus. There's no room for the word to abide. So you got to clear it out. My daily bread, Lord, you provided. And again, clear out the junk, clear out the clutter, find out what has value today for you and let the work of the Holy Spirit work in your heart. I made room for Jesus to lead and guide me to green pastures and beside still waters to restore my soul. Still waters are a place of inner calm and peace. And that's something we're all seeking, amen? Especially in the world that we live in today. You know, they're waters of rest. They're a place where you can drink safely, you know? It's a place of renewal and where renewals take place. A place of healing and a place where joy is found. And I have to say, That's what's living in me. I am so excited about the work of the Holy Spirit in this little example of what he will do in your life and what he's done to, again, place his spirit of joy on the inside of me for this season. It is this, Jesus is the reason for the season. And so the Holy Spirit breathed his life into me. And I want you to know that as you draw near to him, he will show you things that you can't see. In 2 Kings, I was talking to Pastor Tom and this came up. Pastor Tom reminded me of it, that in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verses 14 to 17 in the Amplified Classic, it says this. Of course, it was the time where the king of Syria had sent horses and chariots and a great army. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was round about the city. And Elisha's servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And Elisha answered, "Fear not, for those with us are more than those with them." And then Elisha prayed. He prayed a prayer that I prayed. "Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes so that he can see." And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now, I'm telling you, that's a shift in perspective. Amen? It's a shift in perspective. And God will do that for you. And it's something we should pray every day, because every day we deal with things that could really taint our glasses, amen? So that we don't see clearly what God wants us to see. And so, you know, I was thinking about this. Again, Elijah said, "Fear not." And as you have a perspective that isn't really in line and sync with God's word, that spirit of fear tries to rise up on, tries to torment, amen? The words "fear not," "do not be afraid," "do not fear" appear 365 times in the Bible. God continually tells us, "Do not fear." And when we do, we need a fresh perspective. You know, 365 days, that's one for each day of the year. Amen? Hallelujah. So we can apply that in our life and we can shift our perspective by taking hold and making room for a revelation. And you know, again, the revelation that we so often speak and hear this time of year is Jesus is the reason for the season, and he is. And he is. Amen. So as we close tonight, I just really want to pray for you. I want to pray that, you know, again, God will minister to your hearts. Perhaps maybe you've recently experienced the loss of a loved one, or maybe the loss of a relationship or a job, maybe a dream, or even perhaps you've experienced deep disappointment. You may feel the pressures of life weighing down upon you. Maybe it's financial pressure. But in the midst of all of these things, he is still Lord. And his grace and his comfort and his peace are here for your heart and for your soul. And so, you know, Lord, we just lift up, Lord, anyone whose hands are hanging down, who need that fresh touch and perspective from you. And we ask you, Lord, to move by your spirit, to bring the spirit of joy. As we bring the garment of praise, Lord, unto you. And we just give you glory and honor for what you are doing in our lives. And we ask you to help us to have fresh perspective and daily bread, Lord, that provides for us and opens our eyes so that we can see clearly. Amen. And as we see clearly, and as we behold him and take his thoughts, he's going to move on the inside of you. And as he moves in you, he'll begin to move in the situation. And he'll change and rearrange things. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your great grace and mercy. And we thank you that we can celebrate you in this season with our hearts filled with love and joy. And you know, sometimes the best thing you can do is look around for somebody else that you can sow into, that you can bring a word of encouragement, that you can help strengthen by coming alongside of them. Amen. And oh, that'll produce such great joy as you don't turn inward, but you turn outward. Oh, we just thank you for that, Father. We give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.